السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Surely all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is due to Him and none other. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. We testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any worship other than Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipping slave and final messenger. I remind myself and you of the important ayah in Surah Ali Imran, which is a concise legacy and the most beneficial admonition that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity in successive generations, one generation and after another. The most important of lessons and the most important recommendation given by Allah. Can you hear me well enough or no? Can you hear me? All right. I don't want to strain too loud because I've developed a cough. I think I might be allergic to something in Houston. Hopefully it's none of you, inshallah. The most concise legacy was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the successive generations, generation after one after another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that we have given the wasiyah, the advice and the admonition to humanity, to all of the prophets, all of the messengers, that they are to have the fear and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O ye who believe, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, fear Allah, the fear that He is most deserving of you. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die or enter into the state of death wherein you find yourself at that moment that you depart from the worldly life in other than the state of Islam or submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topics that have been chosen for me to discuss with you are numerous and of varying themes. The general theme of the conference is the ideal Muslima. This is an important topic. And inshallah, myself and those others who have been invited shall do the best they can to fulfill the amana of teaching that which the Prophet ﷺ has brought and come forth with. The first topic that we will be discussing with you today, inshallah, and I wish to first begin by thanking my dear sisters, the organizers of this conference here in Houston, Texas, those who are representatives of the magazine, Daughters of Adam, Jazahumullah Khaira. I wish to thank them for inviting me and the other speakers, and I take that on their behalf as well. The first topic, rewards for women in paradise. It's a deep topic. And to cover it properly, we must institute certain guidelines and certain frameworks and rules. The first of them is that whenever we discuss matters of ghaib, matters of the unseen, we must always discuss it from a neutral standpoint. Neutral in the sense that we are only narrating that which we know to be true. So what is it that we as Muslims value and know and adhere and believe to be true? What are the masdar? What is the source of truth that we as Muslims build our aqidah, belief upon? First, it is the undeniable true words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an. Second, it is the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this word authentic is extremely important. And third, it is the proper interpretation of the Qur'an and the sunnah, not according to one particular individual, not according to one particular segment or generation of society. Rather, it is the interpretation that is agreed upon by those who came in the past and those who are living in the present, and the same thing that will be agreed upon by those who come later on, which is the known understanding of Ahl as-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Rewards for the women of paradise. That's the first guideline that what we will say from here on in is always, you're not going to hear Yahya say, this is what is in paradise, or this is what it means. That will never be uttered by me. Second, is that we must understand the life in the hereafter is different in mode, in appreciation, as a whole complete system, as a whole complete new beginning. It is completely different to what we experience in our worldly life. This is extremely important. It is one of the foundations that the people of Sunnah build our aqidah upon. So therefore, when you hear me say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that in the Jannah there are trees that have talh. Talh can be translated to bananas. Now you're not going to think, because you're not allowed to think with your own simplistic framework and the way you are thinking in worldly terms, a banana is that yellow object that tastes in this sort of way. That is something that you must distance yourself from whenever you speak of matters of the unseen. How do we know that this is a piece of paper? I'm going to give you an example. How do we know that this is a piece of paper? The word paper, P-A-P-E-R. Why does that represent this object? It's the association that we have made to it. Meaning, if I go to China, to the heartland of China, to a city where no one speaks English, and I say to them, this is an orange. And I repeat it numerous amounts of time, and I say, it's an orange. What will they believe when I point this to this? They will say, answer, it's an orange, right? The associations we make are based on what we've been indoctrinated in. When we think of the Akhirah, because we have not yet been given that representation, we have not been shown that this is what Talh refers to. The banana, it isn't what you see in the worldly life, it's different. How do we understand this? All the matters of Ghaib are in the same way. The names and the attributes of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. When you think in worldly terms of what mercy is, you have specific connotations that are attached to it. But when we understand the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is different than what we can comprehend, what we can rationalize. And therefore, this is the very first, most important argument you understand. It is what totally obliterates the modernist movement who have tried to creep into Islam. They will say, how could you believe that such and such? How could you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees? Or that He hears? Sami'a, alim, or that He has knowledge? How could you say this? These are human characteristics. Well, we say to them, that watch, that clock has hands, right? I have a hand. Is my hand. The same word represents two separate things. So therefore the representation is extremely important. So the things that you will hear in our discussion, this is a long introduction by the way, things you will hear in our discussion regarding the rewards of paradise have to be put in that framework. You cannot understand it. Not because I say it, but because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it. What does he say? I introduced this topic, rewards for women in paradise, by narrating to you a hadith, which is narrated by Abi Hurairah, and is collected by an Imam Muslim, which is in his Sahih book. It's a hadith that is authentic. The Prophet ﷺ says, سَأَلَ مُوسَى بْنِ عِمْرَانَ رَبَّهُ Moses asked his Lord, Ya Rabb, ma adina ahlul jannati manzila. O Allah, what is the lowest reward that is found in paradise? What's the bare minimum? Minimum wage, right? What is it here? $5 an hour? $5.15? Minimum wage. What's minimum wage in Jannah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered Musa and said to him, It shall be given to a man, rajul, يَجِيءُ بَعْدَ أَنْ دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ النَّارِ It'll be given to a man after all of the people who have deserved paradise entered it, all of the people who have deserved the fire have entered it, and this will be the last Muslim man. And this is an important hadith that proves that a Muslim who sins, who may not receive the complete, all-absorbing, absolving forgiveness of Allah immediately, will eventually exit the fire and enter Jannah. This will be the last of humanity to escape the fire, wherein the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, the one who narrowly escapes the fire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and is given admission to Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازِ, has attained all success. And the word faz is nakira. It's left ambiguous. It's so that you can, success, it's measured in so many ways. But it's given as a naqira intentionally by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it's not limited. It is success unbounded. فَقَدْ فَازَ. So Musa is told there's a man who will exit the fire and be brought to Allah to be the last person to enter the Jannah. Allah shall say to this man, عَبْدِي أَتَرْضَى أَن يَكُونَ لَكْ مُلْكْ مَلِكْ مِنْ مُلُوكِ الدُّنْيَا. My servant, do you wish, would you be content to receive the kingdom of a king who lived on the worldly life that you used to live upon? Let us pause with this statement because it's important to understand that after your worldly life comes to an end, your days of asking Allah, of turning to Allah and saying, "Oh Allah, grant me," are over. You will never again ask, as a believer, Allah to grant you anything. It will be Allah who asks you. There isn't a single verse in the Qur'an or a single hadith wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you will say, "Oh Allah, I want more of this." It's always Allah that will say to you, "Atarda, is it sufficient for you?" In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah shall come to the believers who have entered the Jannah and shall say to them, هَلْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَزِيدَكُمْ, is there something you wish for me to increase you in? And you and I shall say, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا, have you not brightened our faces? تُبَيِّضْ does not mean made us white, right? Have you not made us white, as I've seen in some strange translations. تُبَيِّضْ, the word brighten, how does Allah describe a person who is darkened? ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those from amongst the non-Muslims, when they were given bushra, that when they were told, you have a new daughter who's entered in your home, he would immediately darken in his face. He would be upset. The wrinkles would form. He would darken in his face. That is what is meant. تُبَيِّض means you're in a state of tranquility. أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا وَأَدْخَلْتَنَا الْجَنَّةِ, and you allowed us to enter Jannah. وَأَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنَ النَّارِ, and you saved us from the torment of the fire. They think that is the greatest reward. We will come back to this hadith later on in our segment to show you what is the greatest reward that a human being shall experience. We return to the hadith of Musa. Allah shall say to this humble servant who has been punished, who may have committed sins, but has been purified. Allah shall say to him, are you content to receive the kingdom of a king who lived on your worldly life? The person obviously shall say, Naam, Bala. That's enough for me. A king. Think Prince Charles, you know, Buckingham Palace, you know. A king. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say to this humble individual, لَكَ ذَلِكَ, you've been given this kingdom, وَمِثْلَهُ, and multiply it, وَمِثْلَهُ, and multiply it, وَمِثْلَهُ, and multiply it, وَمِثْلَهُ, multiply it, five times. And on the fifth one, the servant shall volunteer, he shall say, رَضِيت, that's enough. It's enough. Allah shall say to him, لَكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ وَعَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهِ, all of that is given to you, and 10 times its amount, 50 kingdoms of that which a king possessed in the worldly life. So Musa, hearing this, obviously he had asked about minimum wage. Musa knows he is what? Prophet. And not just a prophet, he's also a messenger. And he's not just also a messenger, he's one of Ulul Azmi, the five main prophets who gave a covenant to Allah. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, he knows he's not getting minimum wage. So he says, فَمَا بَالُ أَعْلَاهَا. So what are the high? What do I get? Right? What is the reward of the people who are at the highest levels? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, do not ask. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَرَدْتُ. They are those whom I have specifically chosen. غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدَيْ. I have planted with my own hand the honor that they shall receive. فَلَمْ تَرَى عَيْنٍ. No eye has seen it. وَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ أُذُنْ. No ear has heard of it. وَلَمْ يَخْطُرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And no human being in his heart or in his desires or in his imagination could ever comprehend or imagine it. Don't ask. It can't be described to you. It's something that you have to actually physically enter into its domain and observe it. So therefore we understand that we cannot rationalize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has remained and kept with Him from the matters of ghaib. Rewards for women in paradise. We're just scratching the surface here, right? They gave me the timer and it's like 20 minutes left. It's not really fair. Rewards for women in paradise is an important topic. I recently received an email from a sister. I don't know where she's from, which city, which area. She says she's a new convert to Islam, maybe 6 years into our religion, alhamdulillah. She's a feminist. And she says, I'm having difficulty. I can't understand how Allah can make me of use for a pleasure for a man. And I said, I didn't understand the question at first, and I replied, I don't really understand. What is the point you're trying to make? She said, in paradise, what if I don't want to be married in paradise? Can I choose not to have a husband? What is the reward that is only, solely for me? What if I don't want to look pretty for someone in Jannah? Remember the two guidelines that we introduced? It's our concept of the worldly life. When we begin to measure the hereafter with it, we lose sight. We can't comprehend its reality. The problem with our sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her and keep her steadfast upon the faith, is that she measured the akhirah with the tools that were given to her in the dunya. In the akhirah, it is different. It is completely different. What is the first reason for this? You will not have any jealousy, neither the men nor the women. You won't look to someone else, because think of it. A person came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the hadith is an authentic hadith in the books of Imam Ahmad. A sahabi came and was weeping to the Prophet. And the Prophet ﷺ said, why are you crying? And he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, when I am with you, my heart is at rest. I'm content just to sit in front of you, just to see you. You don't have to talk to me, you don't have to do anything. I just want to be in your presence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I depart and go home and I'm with my family, I begin to miss you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَفْزَعْ. So I become fearful and distressed. So I run over to sit with you again. And then he says, I remembered that there's going to come a time when you will die. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad's only a messenger. He's a human being. And that I will die. And there will come a point where you will be in Jannah and I will be in Jannah. But you will be with the prophets. And I will be with those who are lower levels in Jannah. So I thought to myself, this moment of pleasure that I have in the dunya, I will not experience it in the Jannah. Immediately Jibreel descended with wahy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verses in Surah An-Nisa. those who love Allah and the Prophet, they shall be مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And surely this is the best companionship. Those who sincerely love Allah and His Prophet and work righteous deeds, they shall be with those who they love. The person had not yet understood. He thought of it in the worldly term. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be at a far distance from me. He's in Al-Firdaus, the highest and middle level of the Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that between each level in paradise, it is that of the earth to the heaven of the first heaven of the sky. Doesn't mean the stratosphere, right? And we know that in between each of these levels, there's numerous and hundreds of levels. For example, the Prophet ﷺ says, the person who memorizes the Qur'an, it shall be said to him, اقرأ ورقة, recite and rise. And for every ayah that you recite, لكل آية تقرأها, every ayah you recite, you gain a level in Jannah. So there's numerous levels, and in between each of these levels is that of the heavens and the earth. So this Sahabi, thinking in this worldly term, was confused, was upset. But the Prophet ﷺ made it simple for him. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, there shall be from my ummah those whom the prophets and messengers are envious of them, because of their nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are their attributes? Those who have excessive khutah to the masjid. They walk to the mosque. They're always going to answer the call of prayer in the mosque. Those who are in a state of wudu constantly. When they break their wudu, they renew it. The famous hadith of Bilal, narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, what does he mention? The Prophet ﷺ says, Bilal, I heard in my dream. And we know that the Prophet's dreams are prophetic statements, right? Wahy is received by prophets in one of three modes. Directly from Allah, the example of Musa, or in a dream, like the examples of Ibrahim. Most of the wahy that was given to Ibrahim was in a dream. He comes to his son and he says to him, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manam anni azbahuk. My son, I see in my dream that I am to slaughter you, to Ismail. That was the mode of wahy given to Abraham. Muhammad ﷺ was also given the wahy through Jibreel and all of the other modes of wahy. Hadith Qudsi, do we know what a hadith Qudsi is? It's when the Prophet ﷺ narrates directly from Allah and it's not a verse from the Quran. The hadith Qudsi are inspirations given to the Prophet ﷺ in the dream, right? That are not counted from the Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ expresses this and explains to us this condition. That Bilal, he says, I heard your foot patters, your footsteps in the Jannah. What is it that you're doing, O Bilal? He said simply, whenever I break my wudu, whether it's day or night, I'll get up and I'll make wudu and I'll pray 2 rak'ah. And that is from the things that the prophets and the messengers become envious of the person who fulfills these deeds, because it brings them nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still didn't get into the specifics of women in Jannah. This is the intro. I have 15 minutes.